time to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Another Inc. Magazine on the newsstands. Another Inc. Radio on your radio. This month is the July-August issue, and you'll see Robert Herjavec. He's one of the sharks from Shark Tank. And a handsome man, and his face is on the cover. He's a friend of mine, and he just got married, as a matter of fact. It says right here, what I learn every week is that success has no shape, color, or height. Robert Herjavec, you can read his story inside this month's issue of Inc. Magazine. Also, virtual reality goes mainstream, page 68. And we have How I Did It, Grit and Wisdom from the founders of AccuWeather, Lyft, Milk Studios, Crunchyroll, and a whole bunch more, starting on page 37. But now it is all about radio for just a couple of minutes, because we have the professor. He is in the house, Professor Dick Taylor. By the way, everybody, he is really a professor of broadcasting at the School of Journalism and Broadcasting at Western Kentucky University, WKU, in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And he is intimidating to me because I never took any formal broadcast classes of any kind. I was just a big mouth, and they put me on the radio. I was going to call you Dr. Professor Dick Taylor. Welcome to the show. Brother Taylor. Two Taylors.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Alan. It's good to be here.
Thank you very much. So the reason why I have you on the show is that I read your blog, and I subscribe to a lot of different bloggy-type things just to be able to stay in touch with the world, and yours was a really good one. And I just thought, we've got to talk about this because it's so relative, whether it's in radio broadcast or whatever business, this one works all the way across the board. And its topic, everybody, is your idea is ugly. Dick, I'm going to let you just, I'm going to let you throw it out there, because to me, this is beautiful. So just tell us about this story you wrote.
Well, it all starts actually with a book written by Ed Catmull, who is the CEO of Pixar, and his book is called Creativity Incorporated. And one of the things that Ed talks about in his book is, because Pixar just has all the best animated movies, and the Disney Corporation obviously bought them, and Steve Jobs was very instrumental in Pixar.
Right.
And what Ed says in his book is that when a new idea surfaces for their next movie, it isn't pretty. I mean, and the thing he says is that you can't kill these ideas at the very beginning because they're all really ugly babies when they're born. And what you need to do is you need to nurture them and give them life. And through the process of working the idea and growing it, it becomes beautiful, and it becomes these wonderful movies that we love, like Toy Story and The Little Mermaid and the like. And I saw that analogy in today's radio world, because what happens oftentimes in today's radio world that didn't happen in the radio world I started in back in the 60s and 70s was that many radio stations launch ugly. They just launch incomplete, and nobody does that. The old phrase in any kind of relationship is, we don't have a chance, a second chance, to make a first impression.
Right.
You got to do it right the first time.
Right.
And what I really saw was that we never used to run the radio industry that way, that before a new radio format would launch, it was tested and it was practiced and it was rehearsed until it would hit the air.
Well, to your point, you know, ideas, a lot of times, you know, they are born ugly. But the fact is that they're good ideas. The person just hasn't been able to figure out how to articulate what they saw in their mind's eye. Because words, you can be a wordsmith, and if you're really good, you can describe this beautiful baby. But the reality is that most people are not good at describing what they saw in their mind's eye. It was an idea. It was born to the world ugly. But if you spend some time and polish it just a little bit and prepare it before you tell the world about your idea, because how many ideas have been shot down by the fact that it just really wasn't thought about enough? Well, we'll talk about this on the other side. I love this whole story today. Your idea is ugly. That's what his blog was. His name is Dick Taylor. You can find out more at dicktaylorblog.com. And he was also, by the way, he was by Inc. Magazine. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Inc. Magazine. How about Radio Inc. Magazine? He was named one of radio's best managers. I happen to know the owner of Radio Inc., B. Eric Rhodes, who's a good friend. We'll take a little break and talk about our babies that are ugly, our business ideas, that is, right after this on Inc. Radio. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, Professor Dick Taylor's on the line. I'm Alan Taylor. Taylor 2. Taylor, what is that? Squared. No, that'd be 10 of us. Certified radio and digital marketing consultant, assistant professor, broadcasting, Western Kentucky University. DickTaylorBlog.com. Your idea is ugly. Dick, I love this because I always have these ideas, and I sometimes will tell my wife, and you know what she says to me? That's stupid. And I just start laughing, and I go, no, really, really. It's like this, and if we did this and we did that. But you know what it is? I was practicing on my wife or one of my buddies just to see if they think that it really is stupid, because some ideas are stupid. But the reality is, if you get a good one, spend a little time polishing it up. Spend a little time, again, yes, I believe, talking to the friends that you know will give you good feedback. And then once you get your kind of your pitch ready for a great idea, take it to somebody that will mentor you and say, well, you know, here's what I see wrong with this. And or here's how, if you position this differently, you could say this. So, I mean, I love your idea, the fact that so many ideas are born ugly. But like you said, Pixar, they're not ready to be shown to the world until they've been polished up and really thought about and practiced. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. Matter of fact, you don't see a Broadway show open without there being an awful lot of practice first.
Right.
You don't see any type of performance art take to the stage without practice. And a good friend of mine, George Johns, who has been a radio programming consultant, put a lot of formats on the air with his brother, coaches Delilah, for example,
wow,
says all of show business except for radio has rehearsals. Why is that?
Yeah.
And I think that is the main part and the gist of the whole idea behind your idea is ugly, which is that to have something really be great takes work, takes time, takes rehearsal, takes crafting, takes polishing.
Right.
And one of the things that I wrote about and actually another blog post that fits right into this is the idea of what is the skill set of the 21st century? I mean, what do you do when your business has maximized every possible efficiency it can get? What do you do next? Well, I think the answer is collaboration. That's going to be the new 21st century skill set. And the radio companies or any company that has the ability to make collaboration work for them is going to have a definitive competitive advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, the game has changed from what you own and control to what you can access.
Right. It's interesting because I have been called by many people a matchmaker. And even on my LinkedIn, it says, you know, entrepreneur, broadcaster, and matchmaker. Because to me, that's just a cute word for collaborator. Because I know, I look at a lot of these companies that I work with, and I think to myself, well, this company could – you know, maximize on this company's audience if they just would work together, because, you know, maybe they want to pay that guy to do it. But the reality is, if they work together, they would both win. They could collaborate on something. So that's what I've been really good at for a number of years, is just, you know, matchmaking and putting people together. And they say, well, what do you get out of this? I go, you know what? I get two good friends out of it. Sometimes I make some money. But I think that, you know, for me, I love seeing good ideas being born, and I love seeing them be born as beautiful babies, not ugly babies.
One of the things I found, I've had in my career the opportunity to go into different markets and different states and work with different radio operations. And oftentimes, one of the things I really excelled at was going into a property that was all disheveled and falling apart. You know, people were walking out the door as I was walking in, and bringing it together. And what I was amazed at, it used to scare me a little bit in the beginning, because I thought, wow, I don't know it all. How am I going to possibly do this? And what I learned was everything that I needed to know was already there. I just had to talk to the people and bring it out. They knew. The people who had been working there knew what needed to be done. No one ever listened to them. And so when you collaborate with a group of people, it's amazing what you can accomplish.
I agree, but you also have to have two ears, one mouth. Use them in those proportions. Listen more than you talk, right? You got to listen. I love that. All right, you stay with us. Talking to Professor Dick Taylor. He's a certified radio and digital marketing consultant, assistant professor of broadcasting at the Western Kentucky University. Find his blog at dicktaylorblog.com. You're listening to Ink Radio. We'll be right back with more.
You know, the night's magic seemed to whisper at her.
Looking to become an entrepreneur and purchase your first business? Finitrends Financial has been helping entrepreneurs fund their dreams of business ownership for over 30 years. Whether it's using a retirement plan to buy a business, securing an SBA loan, or utilizing a dozen other options, Finitrends works hard every day to get entrepreneurs the funding they need quickly, safely, and economically. Speak with a funding expert today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends. Well, this is Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. It is the magazine for growing companies, Ink Magazine, on the newsstands right now. My friend Robert Herjavec, he is one of the sharks from Shark Tank, one of the nice sharks. He really is the nice guy that you would see when you see Shark Tank. He's just, there's a twinkle in his eye, and there's a sweetness about him, and I'm glad to call him a friend. He's a good guy. I'm talking right now to Professor Dick Taylor. He has Dick Taylor Blog, and he is a certified radio and digital marketing consultant and assistant professor of broadcasting over at the Western Kentucky University. Again, you can find him at dicktaylorblog.com. We were talking about your ideas ugly, and how a lot of ideas, when we get these great ideas in our mind, and we can see the whole spectrum of colors in our mind, and then when it comes out of our mouth and we tell one of our friends, they look at us like, are you crazy? And you know how many of those crazy ideas were crazy right up until the time that they were a huge success? Many of them. But the idea is that unless you practice and polish and get that idea ready before it comes to market, a lot of people are going to look at you with that crazy, you know, kind of squint in their eye like, what is he thinking? But let's talk about, and we've learned a little bit in the last few segments about that, let's talk about how things have been changing. I've been in radio, and I've been a marketer for 25, going on actually closer to 30 years now. And boy, things are changing. And Dick, for a moment, if I look at the print world and the radio broadcast world and the television world, they're all taking hits from this new thing, you know, I don't know whether we want to call it new media or social media or just the new world we live in today, because things are changing so much. And when you, you know, you being a digital marketing expert, you know, how do you help people to bridge the gap from old media to new media? Because, you know, people are stubborn.
Truly they are. What we're finding is we are living in the times of a communications revolution. Now, there have been a couple of big revolutions in the world. One was the print revolution and the inventing of the printing press, movable type. That was a revolution in communications. We had the Industrial Revolution, where all of a sudden we went from everything being handcrafted to being made by factories and machines.
Right.
And now we're living in this incredible communications revolution called the Internet. And everything as we once knew it is now being disrupted by the Internet. And in the case of radio, what's really interesting is that we now see Pandora and Spotify and iTunes Radio and Radio Tunes all now entering the field. And what was the great challenge before the Internet? If you wanted to print a newspaper, you needed a giant printing press.
Right.
That took a lot of money.
Right.
If you wanted a TV station, you had to have a broadcast license and transmitters. That took a lot of money. Radio station, broadcast license, transmitters. Now, all of a sudden, anybody can have a radio station absolutely free, no license required,
right,
through the Internet.
A blog.
And
yeah.
A blog. And so I'm printing, if you think about it, every week on my blog. I do it from basically my apartment. And that wasn't possible ever until now. And that's difficult for all of us to get our heads around. Of what does that mean and how does that impact us? Now, initially, the radio industry figured, well, this is great. It's free. We'll just take our broadcast and put it on the Internet. But the reality is, so couldn't everybody else.
Right.
And the difference between over-the-air broadcasters and everybody else was, if you're Pandora, that's all you've got. So you're going to put everything you have into it, making that ugly baby as beautiful as possible. The broadcasters stuck the ugly baby on the Internet. And that doesn't work. I mean, you can look at the digital rating services, and what you see is Pandora is the 800-pound gorilla in the audio streaming world.
At least for music, right.
For music, right. I mean, right, you have to break it out into talk. But Pandora would be for music. It's followed by Spotify. What's the distant third? iHeart. Well, that's not really surprising, because if you want to hear any of iHeart's product, it's easily obtainable over the air.
Right.
Why listen to it online? And one of the things that's interesting is oftentimes the online version of that same product is inferior to the over the air, because the broadcasters are still spending all of their time, all of their worry on making the over the air baby as beautiful as possible and the ugly baby streams.
Well, and then in our final minute here, because I want to get the, I guess what I'm looking for is that piece of advice is, how do you stand apart and be disruptive with whatever it is you as a marketer want to do? And I guess the answer is coming through loud and clear. You know, polish your idea, practice your idea, make sure that it is a cut above everything else that's out there. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and the other thing is, your business to grow must first have a purpose beyond profit.
There you go.
Businesses that focus their growth on profits aren't going to have either.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the message.
Right. No, you're right. You have to not only be passionate about it, but it has to be something that has a purpose for those who will be listening to it. Otherwise, you could just be a kook being passionate about silly things. So, you know what? It's been very insightful. I love the blog. And everybody, check it out. It's Dick Taylor Blog. Look at that story in there, because it's called Your Idea is Ugly. And make sure you folks get out there and read his blog, whether you're in the radio business or not, because business these days is got 1,000 points of light, and you may be touching the radio business someday, or the digital business, or bricks and mortar, but they all work together for that common cause these days, and that's to make some money. All right, we'll take a little break. Thank you, Dick. Appreciate it. Dick Taylor. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Ink Radio. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out, because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
Well, you're listening to Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Again, on the cover this month, you'll see Robert Herjavec from Shark Tank. What a great dude he is. On the cover, it says, "How I Did It." You want to learn about that, pick up this month's issue. Actually, it is a kind of a dual month, July, August of 2016. Just look for Robert Herjavec on the cover. So our next guest is a very, very interesting guy. And I'll tell you why. Because he's going to teach us all a little bit about business negotiation. He just wrote a book. It is called Never Split the Difference. How many times in my life have I said, all right, let's split the difference? Just to get it over with, right? Well, let me tell you, this gentleman is, he's not the regular negotiator. As a matter of fact, he was with the FBI for 24 years. He was trained in the art of negotiation by not only the FBI, but Scotland Yard and by Harvard Law School. He is also a recipient of Attorney General's Award for Excellence in Law Enforcement and the FBI Agent Association Award for Distinguished and Exemplary Service. And that, I will tell you, is only the tip of the iceberg with Chris Voss. He's on the line with us. He's the CEO of the Black Swan Group. I love the fact that you were into hostage negotiation. To me, this stuff, it adds an element of deliciousness to my ears. Chris, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. And thank you for your awesome service to our world. Because, I mean, without guys like you, imagine, and you know how many times you've helped to save lives with your skills, with the sharpness of your tongue. Welcome to our show. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. It's an absolute pleasure to be on with you. Thank you very much.
I tell you, he looks like Al Pacino. He sounds like Al Pacino. I just can't wait to meet you in person. I want your book. Again, the book is called Never Split the Difference. First of all, I'm gonna have you on for the whole half an hour, the second half of the show. There's so many things I want to know about you, and I want to learn how to negotiate better, because I don't ever want to say never. I don't ever want to say split the difference with me ever again, because you say never split the difference. So let's start right there. There's a new book just came out, and you guys can all buy it. I'm sure it's available everywhere. We'll give you websites and all along the way. But why never split the difference? Why don't we start there?
Well, yeah, you know, there's a couple of starting points from hostage negotiators, the way I learned to negotiate. And one of them was, you know, you got four hostages in a bank. What am I going to do? Say, let's split the difference and we'll call it a day.
Okay.
So, I can't do that. But I also need you to like me. I need you to want to do business with me. And I need you to be able to go through with the deal when I can't make you go through with the deal. So hostage negotiator is actually a really greedy guy in wanting what's on the table, but also wanting to have a great relationship at the same time, which is, I think, that's the way you get rich, relationships. You know, people want to do business with you.
Sure. Also, everybody, you can go to Ink Magazine, ink.com, and there's an article, The 5 Brilliant Emotional Intelligence Tactics This FBI Agent Uses to Negotiate. And what I may do is not have time to get to those, because I have a feeling we're going to get to them anyway with you. But there is that article at ink.com. You guys can look and just do a search for Chris Voss, V-O-S-S. Chris, so this book just came out, and you have been doing this for a long time. As a matter of fact, I see, and it blows my mind that you're currently teaching business negotiation in the MBA program as an adjunct professor at, and I will tell you there's a lot of these, but we'll start with University of Southern California's Marshall School of Business and Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business, and has taught professional negotiation at Harvard University, guest lectured at Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, the IMD Business School in Lucerne, Switzerland, and it goes on and on and on. Where have you not been teaching people, except on my show, of course, till now? I mean, you have...
Yeah, it sounds like I can't hold a job. Right?
No. But this is, listen, the beauty of it is hearing your voice, knowing what you've done. You're also a regular guy, aren't you? I mean, anybody can do this if they
master the craft that you hopefully will teach us in your book, Never Split the Difference. But on this show today, where does a guy start? I mean, you said it right there. You got to win people's trust. They got to like you. And you personally got to want to win the whole thing, not, like you said, splitting the difference, not getting half of what you are there to get.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you definitely you want to have lofty goals. You know, the other crazy thing is realizing that no matter how smart you are, there's always something better that you don't see on the table. And I'm kind of greedy because I want that. I want it to be a better deal. And actually, I don't even use the word adversary. I use the word counterparts because I want you to continue to want to do business with me. And I know that if I see the great relationship, I mean, we're both going to be better off. I do not look at the stuff as one-off, and I don't look at it as a zero-sum game.
But in crisis management, in that hostage negotiation, when you're there in that moment, how do you put aside all of the emotional things? And like it says, you know, that article, that the one which I thought was very important, you know, the 5 brilliant emotional intelligence tactics. Because I get emotional when I am in the middle of negotiating. I start looking at the person or talking to the person, and I start getting angry, upset, or, you know, maybe excited. And how do I keep all those emotions intact? How do you do it?
Well, one of the first easiest ways to do it, the real hack, if you will, and I don't mean to use that as a cliche, but it really is a hack. If first of all, I start trying to focus on picking up from you why in the world, you know, what's causing you to say the crazy things that you're saying, what could potentially be causing you to have this crazy point of view on your approach, that actually automatically flips me into another compartment of my brain where all of my own emotions just go off to the side and fall away. And it's kind of a counterintuitive move, which is nearly everything about this negotiation approach is really counterintuitive. And if it's counterintuitive, it means most people aren't doing it. And, you know, I like doing stuff that other people can't do. I like making a deal that somebody else wouldn't have been able to make. I find that very satisfying.
I love it. I love it. We are talking to an amazingly brilliant man. And he comes to our business world from hostage negotiation, which I love, because at the end of the day, it sounds to me like my new motto is never split the difference, the name of his book that is out on newsstands. And if you want to learn how to negotiate in business, that's what this half hour is all about. We're talking with Chris Voss. He is the CEO and founder of the Black Swan Group. And this is Ink Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Right away, but I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
Well, you're listening to Ink Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alan Taylor. Again, pick up our magazine on newsstands everywhere. Inc., the magazine for growing companies. Special guest today, Chris Voss. He is just a guy that I want to get to know better. He's interesting. He's an FBI hostage negotiator. And he was on the FBI, you know, basically he was the guy they called for 24 years. And after he retired, he founded a negotiation consulting firm, which I think is brilliant, the Black Swan Group. And he published his first book, Never Split the Difference, which you can find, I'm sure, at Amazon or wherever. You know, just you want to Google this and you'll find him, Chris Voss. Again, the book, Never Split the Difference, or at bookstores, you can ask for it. So, Chris, let's talk about this. I'm, you know me. At this point, I think you can tell I'm not the regular question asker. I like to talk about stuff that's very personal to me. And I have a lot of triggers. And I've been trying to talk to some of my employees about not being so easily triggered. I mean, we get so easily triggered. I have to imagine that when you are dealing, when you're negotiating with hostage people that are, you know, have hostages, I mean, it's like the emotions are high, the triggers happen probably much faster. So maybe we could just start out with triggers. How do you deal with triggers in people?
Well, you know, triggers tend to be very predictable. They may not be trigger exactly how we do, but everybody's got a pattern. Everybody except for the people who are actually paranoid schizophrenic, and I'm not trying to be mean to them, but some people, through the, what's happened to them, have their wiring is off. It's actually off.
Right.
And so, but those aren't people that are in business. Those people that are having such a struggle in life, we're never going to talk to those people.
Right.
Who we talk to most of the time are people who are just, they don't have the same pattern that we do, but they have patterns. And as soon as we start looking for the patterns and understand what their triggers are, then they become very predictable. And some of the effects are also extremely predictable, and it's getting behind that. Like, I know for a fact that if there's something that you feel negative about, even if it's me, like, if I know you're mad at me, I will say to you, look, I know I seem like a jerk. And that, I know that that will automatically diminish your negative feelings towards me.
Really? Isn't
it? Doesn't reinforce them.
Yeah.
Every single time, I know that diminishes those feelings. So I get behind the patterns. I know how they work.
Okay, so that's very interesting already. So in other words, acknowledging, like, I'll give you an example. Something happened the other day, and a person with me went from being really friendly to all of a sudden, the next time I saw them, I think they thought I was a jerk for something I said. And they looked at me, and I could literally see there was just almost a different person standing there looking. And it's in business. So how do you deal with that when you all of a sudden can see something? I didn't know what it was, but you actually just gave me a secret key to seeing in business when I've affected somebody in a negative way. Do I to say, all right, so, you know, last time we were together, maybe I was a bit of a jerk. Does that help?
Yeah, or you could say, look, I know it seems like I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
And you can just watch it go away. Now, and that's a carefully, artfully worded statement because you never said you were and you never agreed with it.
Mm.
You're just saying, I know this is the way it seems. And you can even, interestingly enough, you could take it one step further because if you know you're getting ready to say something they don't like my favorite phrase is, you know, this is going to be really horrible. And I don't know what goes through their mind, but then when I follow up with something that otherwise would have made them upset, I'll tell them they don't react, and they'll say, "Nah, that wasn't that bad. What were you worried about?"
That's brilliant. So you're setting them up not to fail, but setting them up to be, I guess maybe, and delighted is the wrong word, but thankful that it's not as horrible as you thought, or they thought it was going to be with how you set it up. Very interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of psychology, yeah. Huh? And that's why the article that's in that was in Inc. magazine, I'm sure it's still online, everybody, The 5 Brilliant Emotional Intelligence Tactics This FBI Agent Uses to Negotiate. This stuff is brilliant, and it really is.
Thank you.
Emotional stuff. It is thoughtful by design in order to give you an advantage when negotiating, when we are all so easily triggered by even hearing the word no. How do you deal with that?
Well, we're horrified by no, but the flip side of it is once you get your arms around the psychology of no, then it becomes a tremendous advantage.
Mm.
Because no is protection. Whenever somebody, there's a difference between what we want to hear and what we feel when we say it. And so I know that human beings around the globe, as soon as they say the word no, they feel they protected themselves. Having protected themselves, they relax and they're more open to listening. And then we've really experimented with this and found that people are ridiculously comfortable with saying no to the most absurd things.
Mm.
And I consistently counsel people that are in job negotiations when they want a raise, with their boss or they're put in a bad position, go to the boss and say, do you want me to fail?
Wow.
And
reverse psychology, right?
Right. You'd be stunned at what people are willing to say no to. I'm coaching a guy.
All right, hold that. Hold that thought. I want to hear it on the other side of the break. This is so good. I want to spend a week with you, brother. We're talking with Chris Voss. He is author of the book Never Split the Difference. Man, I'm learning a lot. We'll be right back. It's Inc. Radio.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Are you looking for a tool that can quickly change from sanding to cutting to scraping? Well, the Craftsman C3 19.2 volt multi-tool offers multiple uses with just one tool. The quick blade release feature allows you to easily exchange accessories with a simple lever rotation. Variable speed settings and two built-in LED work lights will help you finish a variety of projects on your to-do list. Pick up your Craftsman C3 multi-tool today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Well, yes, this is Inc. Radio. Special guest today, Chris Voss. I'm Alan Taylor. He is the author of the book Never Split the Difference. And there's an article from Inc. You can find it at Inc.com, the 5 Brilliant Emotional Intelligence Tactics this FBI agent uses to negotiate. He is a past instructor of international business negotiation at Harvard University and a retired Federal Bureau of Investigation special agent who was the FBI's lead international kidnapping negotiation guy for a long time. He spent 24 years in the FBI, and today he teaches people how to negotiate. So, back with Chris Voss and tactical and strategic negotiations. This is so fun for me. I love this stuff. Where do you live, by the way? Where are you, in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm in L.A.
Okay, because I mean, you sound, I know you're from New York, but I read something that you are in L.A. now. But here, let me ask you a couple of quick questions here, because as we wrap up the show, to me, you have so much to offer, and we want people to obviously buy your book. Again, it is called Never Split the Difference. I want to start with three things. First one is the sweetest or the best two words you ever hear in a negotiation. You got anything on that?
Yeah, the sweetest thing to hear anybody say is that's right. Now, it's not your right. Your right is a kiss of death. Your right is what a husband tells his wife when he wants her to leave him alone.
Okay. You're right.
And that works across the planet. It's a sucker move.
Yeah, in this case, you're right and that's right. So anyway, continue.
Yeah, that's right is what people say when they reach an epiphany, like when they just, you see something on TV that you totally believe in, you jump up, you point at the TV, you go, that's right.
I love it.
And if you can get somebody to say that to you, what they've just done is embraced what you have just said as a complete and total truth. Mm-hmm. And they've accepted it as their own.
So that's the aha moment, right?
It's an aha moment in them. And then subconsciously, they're enormously appreciative of you for having created that moment.
Yep.
And if there's anything positive they can do to move in your direction, that's when they'll do it.
So that's kind of like helping them to come to reality, like bending reality. They were so against it, and all of a sudden they go, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, people just, you will find yourself having launched into a completely different, new, and positive negotiation on the heels of that's right. And that's cross-cultural, too. It's every culture on the planet. Mm.
All right. Well, then let's take it to the other side when you have to bargain hard. Let's say you can't get them to go that, you know, that's right. And so how do you bargain hard? What do you do?
Well, you start out, it's a calculated scientific approach combined with an emotional intelligence approach. You decide what you want to pay. And wherever you want to be, if you're in a bidding process, you come in at 65%. Doesn't matter. And then what you do after that point, and you have to do this, and it's counter moves. You never bid against yourself. You never go more than one move at a time. Then you move. Every time you make a move, it's half as big as the one before. So you got 35% to eat up, and it goes 20, 10, and 5. But the most important, if you can't remember the numbers, is you always make, whenever you make a move, it's always got to be smaller than the last one. And there's a psychological putting on of the brakes that the other side feels. And they want to feel that they've gotten everything out of you. And so you're like, all right, I'm going to play the psychological game. And it's three moves, because in three total moves, if you can't get to a deal, it increases the chance the other side's going to get fed up and walk away. Mm. And the last thing you want to do is you want to throw out odd numbers. I mean, there's a reason every store uses odd numbers. You never offer anybody $5,000 for something. Really stupidly, you want to offer them $48.93.
Okay. It's just
and
upsetting.
People never,
right?
Well, people always assume that you've done all this calculation,
right,
in response to the number. And it just seems really firm. One of my students in my business school class gets a rent increase. He ends up negotiating in his apartment in a high-demand area, a rent decrease. And the last thing he does is he asks his landlord for a piece of paper and pencil. He scribbles on the paper his date of birth, his astrological sign, you know, how much he weighs. And then he gave him the number he had prepared in advance. And the landlord looked at him and said, wow, you must be an accountant, which he wasn't.
Right.
And he said, yes.
That's great. Well, it boils down to this, everybody. Never Split the Difference. And that is the book that Chris Voss has written. And now you guys can all learn from this brilliant man. You can also see his article that has been written, The 5 Brilliant Emotional Intelligence Tactics This FBI Agent Uses to Negotiate. Now it's in your hands, everybody, to look up Chris Voss. Chris, thank you very much. I want to get to know you in person and go have a beer. Okay.
Alan, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. That's about it for me this hour. You're listening to Ink Radio. Hope you've had fun with us. We'll see you next time. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.